Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So, Joe, some news on the Titans coaching staff yesterday. Kuharsky put it out there that Colt Anderson is officially gone from the Titans staff.
Thanks for letting us know.
So, after making the change at special teams coordinator and I guess being in limbo after John Fossil was hired, Colt Anderson gone from the Titans coaching staff. Luke Stocker.
Were they not answering his phone call?
I don't know.
Is this like Liam Cohen in the Bucks? Hey, Brian. Hey, what's going on? You want to hang out, go to Topgolf?
I smoke weed. Sorry, constantly.
There you go. All right. So, sorry,
Duval.
I cut you off. Go ahead. Keep going.
Just you see the Duvalls? I mean, I know you saw it. You sent it to me.
The Duval stuff with Liam Cohen. We need to play that.
I mean, it's the audio of it is one thing. I think the facial expression accompanied him saying that. Play that again.
Duval.
Titans might be in good shape when as it relates to Jacksonville over the next few
years. He's like, first of all, I sent it to Corey, too. Corey is way better than him at it. It's Duval. He's like, Duval.
We're putting emphasis on the wrong part of it, buddy.
Yeah, you got a lot of work to do, Liam Cohen.
Saw that and was just like, oh, boy. It's about as cringe as it gets. So the Titans hired Tony Oden as passing game coordinator / cornerbacks coach. He was with the Jets. They promoted Luke Stocker to tight ends coach as well. Obviously, John Fossil as special teams coach, Raina Stewart coming in as special teams assistant. So that's the changes to this point with the Titans coaching staff. And it looks like, I mean, I would assume, Joe, at this point, that that's it and that everybody else is coming back. Also, I should mention that Chris Harris gone as well. So
yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, that was a big hire for Vrabel.
Right.
And he missed some time last year. So I don't know the whole story there, obviously, but probably that's some of the story.
So are we surprised that there wasn't more turnover with the staff, more changes? You know, we talked about the possibility heading into the offseason of Nick Holtz at offensive coordinator. What about Denard Wilson as DC? Like, are you bringing both of your primary coordinators back as it relates to the offensive and defensive side of the ball? Well, I guess they are. Like, I assume at this point when we're about to head into February that any coaching staff changes would probably have been made to this point. I guess I could be wrong about that, but my assumption is that all those guys are coming back. So if that's the case, what do we make of it? How do we feel about it if you're a Titans fan evaluating this right now?
Yeah, I think if you're a Titans fan, you wanted to see a little bit more than this. And what, you know, you may have specific ideas. I think the only consensus idea was Colt Anderson, who, again, just, hey, guys, I'm showing up to work. Like, this is like Kramerica, just shows up, but he's not getting paid, you know. Colt, we're going to move your desk down to the basement, Colt. And, you know, you can just go down there and, no, you can't have a stapler. I'm making jokes about Office Space, a movie you still haven't seen yet.
I know, I really need to figure that out.
But
Colt Anderson's desk is on the practice field out there. How did it get out there?
But, it seems like that's the type of year where you'd have a little bit more turnover. I don't believe in like turnover for the sake of turnover.
I agree.
Think it's kind of like, you know, you gotta go with changes when you have an upgrade, you know, and you have a chance to upgrade, then you do that. So I would say that the way it has unfolded, it's just like what you said with Andrew Brunette and UC Sars, you know, the actions tell us things way more than words do usually, right? So I'm reading this in tandem with, you know, the GM being fired is them, the organization believing more that it's the talent issue than it is a coaching issue for this team, right? I mean, I think those things go hand in hand to some extent. Well, I still think, you know, you're talking about a rookie head coach, rookie OC, rookie DC. You know, in retrospect, man, that was quite your ass. I really like when Vrabel came in, for example, you get Dean Pease, you know. I feel like there's some real value in at least one of your coordinators being one of those really, you know, having a ton of experience if you can pull it off. I mean, man, the Titans had a run there where they had the back-to-back D coordinators were, you know, Dick LeBeau and Dean Pease. I think Denard Wilson's still a promising coach, and it's, I mean, overall the defense wasn't as good as some of the numbers suggest, but, you know, it wasn't the primary problem with the team. You know, the Nick Holtz thing is, I mean, I definitely thought, you know, I don't know, is this guy, you know, is this that has to be an important position, and so maybe, you know, they need to try to get someone more experienced there, but obviously they didn't do anything. So it's a little bit surprising to me, but again, I think it just speaks to them believing that it's a talent issue more than a coaching issue. We'll see. And you know, look, the Bill Callahan effect, it's got to happen this year. There's nothing. Last year does not, to me, change anything about what he did up until last year. And by the way, in Cleveland, they'd probably crawl back here and rehire him if they could. Okay, but that needs to really show itself next year.
Well, in terms of like personnel evaluation, because look. Bill Callahan, great offensive line coach. Like, the record is what the record is on that front. Clearly, they felt good enough about Petit Frere at right tackle that's what they went with. That's a strike against Bill Callahan and this coaching staff right now. Like, they have to find a way to rectify that heading into next year. But we all knew that Bill Callahan was coming back. Like, we knew that Bill Callahan, as long as Brian Callahan was here, was coming back. I guess the Denard Wilson, Nick Holtz part of this to me is interesting. Like, I don't know that I walked away from the end of the season thinking that those guys were bad coaches. Like, Denard Wilson's defense, the numbers would tell you, like, that, you know, they were the number one defense in the league by, like, yards allowed for a lot of it. Now, that was incredibly misleading. And
it'll still go on his bio.
Like,
a few years from now, I'll be with the Tennessee Titans in 2024, ranked number three in the league in total defense.
Right. You know? I think if you watch the way the games played out, we all know that was misleading, and they gave up a lot of points. And
Colt Anderson helped him have better stats.
And, you know, when they needed to come up with big stops throughout the season, by and large, they didn't do it. So that was a strike against that defense. You know, Nick Holtz offensively, you know, it's tough to evaluate the offensive coordinator sometimes when he's not the play caller. But the entire offensive operation was bad this year. And I think it's pretty clear, like, I don't want to say exclusively, but they're majorly blaming that on quarterback play. Like, they're blaming it on quarterback play and saying if you change the quarterback and bring in a better quarterback, that's going to change next year. My thought on it is this: if I'm a Titans fan, I'm not especially encouraged by the lack of changes on the staff. I'm not automatically giving up hope that this staff can't turn into a good coaching staff based on 1 year when it was their first year in all those roles: head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. The leash, I think this is the general theme for the coaching staff as a whole, the leash is very short heading into next year. Like, there needs to be meaningful progress displayed immediately. I'm not talking, well, let's see how the first 6 weeks go, like, and then you can build from there. Sure, you want to improve throughout the course of a season, but you need to see results from the jump next year with this group.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. Like, I don't feel like I have a full picture of Brian Callahan as a head coach. I think there are still encouraging things about Brian Callahan as a head coach. Like you said, Bill Callahan has already established himself as a great coach. But there are coaches who could have taken the exact same team last year and not gone 3-14.
Agreed.
And, yes, I will say that I think Mike Vrabel is one of them. Now, I'm not ready to sit here and say Mike Vrabel, who, by the way, said he might come on the show. Just saying. So, yeah, I don't think he actually will, but he did say maybe. But you know, I think like Vrabel, Vrabel, to prove that he's a great coach, has to win at the highest level. Okay. But he's a good coach. He's a very good coach. And he's an example of someone who has taken less and done more with it. And last year they had less and did, well, they might've even done less with the less,
I think,
but they certainly did, like, now no more with the less, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like some of it is like looking like a well-coached team. Certainly in the kicking game, it was the antithesis of that for the first half of the year especially. But, yeah, finding those edges and winning close games and all those things, I agree. I mean, it's the pressure is squarely there.
I mean, I guess the problem I have with the coaching staff, we know how bad the roster is. We know how bad quarterback play was. We laid that all out. Where was the improvement last year? Like, where did the Titans get better as the season went on? Like, I mean, look, they got better on special teams as the season went on because they were that bad to start. And then they, you know, they did make some personnel adjustments and got different people in there. But it was an improvement from a complete and total fire out there. So there's that. I don't know if that's exactly what I'm looking for. But, like, did the defense get better throughout the year? Did the offense improve throughout the year? I would say no. So that to me is more concerning than anything else about the coaching staff there was heading into next year.
Yeah, well, there was a point when I thought it was. I mean, think about, again, like the Houston game and even Levis, right? They had a little run where it's like, okay, they actually – but then it at the end –
totally fell apart.
And, you know, again, maybe that's some of that is 1-2, you know, Cancun on three mindset and stuff like that. But regardless, yeah, by the end of the season, you were like, no. Just it's pretty bad all the way across the board.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on the Titans coaching staff? Not a lot of changes heading into this next season. How are we feeling about that if you're a Titans fan? We'll get more of your thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Again, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We'll have Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on with the program at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, including him catching up with Shedeur Sanders the other day. So we'll get his thoughts on Shedeur. Nashville's best deal this week, Singletree Barbecue in Murfreesboro. Singletree Barbecue, a local veteran-owned and operated business serving world-class barbecue with the perfect combinations of sides and desserts. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bobby in Mount Juliet says, still he says the Titans should fire Denard Wilson and hire some old defensive coordinator to take over the defense. Was the defense really that bad last year, or still he just want to fire somebody? This is from Bobby in Mount Juliet.
He does like to fire people.
He does.
We know he does like to do that. Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, of the people who would be on the list to fire, Denard Wilson would not be high on that list for me. I hadn't really entered. Again, there's some empty calories and, you know, some a little bit of skewing of the stats like we've talked about with the D, but, like, was the D, you know, they gave up big plays late. They didn't turn people over like you need to. They weren't great. They also were missing what was supposed to be the strength of the team, those two cornerbacks this year. I don't think Denard Wilson would be on the list of people that I would be firing.
I don't know that I would fire him either. I mean, look, we've talked about this before. Like, what's the stat that matters defensively? How many points do you give up? I mean, the Titans are third worst team in the league at that. So 27.1. Now, you know,
that's where Colt Anderson didn't help.
That's where Colt Anderson did not help him. You know, you're throwing
and your
pick
offense,
sixes all
and
over
your
the place.
Offense really didn't.
Your
help
offense
him.
Can't score and hold on to the ball. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I don't know that. Look, I don't know that anything Denard Wilson did this year was fireable. Right now, I'm more concerned with the offensive side than I am the defensive side. Like, the offense was absolutely atrocious this year, and they have pinned it all on the quarterback. Fairly or unfairly, they've pinned it all on the quarterback. We'll see if that's true, and if it was just as simple as Will Levis and Mason Rudolph or what was holding them back, or if there are some fundamental issues with the offense. Regardless, like, regardless if you believe it was all or mostly on the quarterback or not, if you're Brian Callahan, like, I do think you have to take a look at your process, everything that you did on the offensive side of the ball this past year, and say, all right, what has to get better? Like, what do we feel good about that worked last year? And of the many things that did not work, how much of that was systematically our process and our problem, and how much of that was simply just the quarterback play? Because it's hard for me to believe that it was all the quarterback play. I know the quarterback play was bad. We've talked about that ad nauseum throughout the year. I don't think it was all the quarterback play.
No. Well, I think the quarterback play, and I mean the two things that you could point to and you can kind of excuse the coaching staff, kind of, but again, player evaluation is part of it. But it would be the quarterback play and it'd be offensive line play, right? They were both terrible. And like if it's as simple as, you know, your quarterback's not performing, not seeing things, whatever it is, not making throws that are right there for him, and your right tackle is just getting blown up over and over again. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. I mean, they had issues across that line at different times. Yep. Those are your personnel issues that are probably separate from coaching. But yeah, it's not. I mean, it all goes together. Apparently, a texter says that Jared also said they should hire Bobby Slowick. I didn't hear that. And Bobby Slowick's a real interesting case. Guy who a year ago
fell out of grace quickly in Houston.
A year ago is, you know, mentioned with basically almost all those jobs. There was some talk that he didn't think he was ready, right? I think. Now, I don't know that he got an offer to turn down, but comes back and all of a sudden he's the guy they get rid of this year. He got dumb?
I don't know.
He worked with the same people, and all of a sudden, like, what happens there?
It's weird. I mean, I was pretty shocked they fired him. Like, I realized Houston's offense did take a step back this year.
Yeah.
But was it fireable? I mean, they still got to the division round of the playoffs.
I mean, you know, look, I think that Stroud had a little bit of a sophomore slump. I think he missed some throws and just had some games that we didn't see last year. You can blame it on Slowick if you want. I'm sure.
Hey, look, admittedly,
I'm sure they had their reasons.
You know, I did not.
It's kind of weird.
Obviously, you know, we're in Nashville. I'm not sitting here paying overly close attention to the ins and outs and day-to-day of the Houston Texans. So, I don't know. Maybe he was a big problem. But I found that one to be pretty head-scratching when I saw it go across the screen. Like, on the Titans side of it, again, this is where it gets difficult to evaluate the entire offensive staff because your head coach is the play caller. And we've talked about this. Like, I don't know that I walked away at the end of many games this year and thought, well, the Titans probably would have been in good shape there if the play calling was better. Like, I don't know if they necessarily had a play calling issue. So, from that standpoint, maybe you do look at your offense and you say, yeah, we feel pretty good about our play calling. We feel pretty good about our process. You get better protection, better quarterback play, then you're going to see the points skyrocket at that point. Maybe it is as simple as that. They clearly at least somewhat believe that.
Yeah, they better hope so. But of course, then you have the challenge of actually finding that quarterback. But yeah, I mean, like, it's if you had to, it's the biggest part of it is the quarterback not playing well, the quarterback not getting protection. You got to somehow fix both of those things. Like, if Will Levis had great pockets this year, how much different would his performance be? I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably
he's different, but you know, the Cincinnati game comes to mind, and he had some pretty good pockets, and he just threw it right to the other team, and you're like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, it's hard to imagine over the course of a season that not affecting any quarterback. Right?
Exactly. I mean, even if sometimes the clock doesn't need to be sped up in your head, it is because of what you've been dealing with.
Yeah. So
not making excuses for him. I mean, I'm not saying that they should bring him back. I think he'll be somewhere else next year. But it's a team sport. It's a team sport, Robbie. Coaches and players. You got to coach better, you got to play better.
Is it the ultimate team sport?
Everybody
says their sport is the ultimate team sport.
I've heard soccer, hockey, and football people all say they're. I've never heard baseball people say that.
I have.
Because baseball is like, I mean, baseball is the ultimate individual sport.
It is.
That's a team sport, right?
But you need all of those individual pieces together as a team.
Yeah.
Firing at the same time.
Pitcher, batter, and then I'm out in left field blowing bubbles, you know? I mean, it's come on. Baseball has no claim. I love baseball. You know, don't get me wrong.
Didn't mean to
turn this into a roast of baseball.
Roast of baseball. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, folks. So I got a question. If this thing doesn't start off, because I've heard you say earlier, Robbie, that they have a short leash. If this thing doesn't take off the way that I don't even know that anybody really anticipates, Like, so what do you do? Do you fire the head coach, fire the offensive coordinator, you know, in the middle of the season, bring in a new head coach? I mean, so we're talking about a whole nother season of this right here. Like, I don't understand how this is. It's really shaky. The rinse and repeat thing is, I have very little confidence that they're going to be able to turn this around. They made Jarrett Stillman, and I love Jarrett, don't get me wrong, but they made him look like a prophet with the left tackle and all, you know, all this crazy stuff, because we thought that the head coach or the dad was going to come in and fix the offensive line, which didn't happen. I'm just curious, if it doesn't work, like if we're at game six or game seven and the Titans have not won a game next season, then what? Do they implode and blow it all up? Is Amy gun-shy because of all the firing that she has been doing? Yep. I mean, how does this work?
Yep, thanks for the call, Cam. I mean, look, if they're at game six or seven, they haven't won a game, then yeah, I'm not going to take any of that off the table. The firing of the head coach, the firing of a coordinator in the middle of the season. If you're at game six or seven and you haven't won a game, yeah, I'm not taking any of that off the table.
Yeah, I mean, if you fired a coordinator in season, I guess that's the head coach, you know, trying to, you know, sometimes it gets into like saving yourself. And
yeah, okay, I mean, coordinators get fired in season all the time. The
yeah, NFL. Here's the problem. But yeah, look, I think whether it's in season or it's just at the end of the season, yeah, if it doesn't get significantly better, then I don't think Brian Callahan will get a third year. And so then you'll have, but again, it's like the Bears here, they just drafted their QB. They've had all these different timelines, and they're a disaster, and maybe it's not going to work out, but right now they feel pretty good about Iron Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, so we'll see. I mean, it could, you know, again, this could lead to, you could end up, depending on what happens this offseason, with new coach with a new quarterback in 2026.
Yeah.
Get excited.
Well, I mean, is that really that, you know, I talked about it at the time.
Or you could have your quarterback this year.
Ran. I was like, so we're doing this again next year when like Callahan gets fired? Yeah. Like, would that really be a stunning outcome for anybody right now? I don't think so.
No. I mean, I think it's almost not quite stunning, but almost surprising if it doesn't happen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coaching staff coming up next. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745, Jim Wyatt at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One texter says, what I find alarming is that the Titans put together good drives on a lot of the first drives this year, and then it stopped immediately. That seems like a prep issue. So I would say that seems more like a adjustment issue, right? Like game planning and the scripted stuff at times was pretty good, and then it faded as the game went along.
Yeah. Yeah, those the scripted drives, like when they work, then – that's impressive. You scripted a good drive. You scouted your opponent. You found stuff that would work. That's great. So when they don't work, then it's like, well, you know, what's the issue? But yes, if they work and then you fade, then that's not great. So yeah, I guess adjustments would be the issue there.
Well, like, how do you eventually get to a point as a team where you can put up some points in the second half? I mean, we've talked about that for like three straight years with the Titans.
Many people have tried.
Can you please score some points in the second half of football games? Yes. I mean, look, I guess when you're scoring 16 points in total every game, that you're not scoring a ton in the first or second half, so you got to find a way to improve the entire process there. But it would be great to see a little bit more second half scoring moving forward from this team at some point.
Yeah, again, it's like, why does this fan base – have to be subjected to all these people getting fired and all of them not being able to, like, score a touchdown after halftime?
It really is amazing.
But you can hear the Johnny Cash song. Ding, 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 yep. Ding, ding. I mean, like, God, give them something to watch.
That's what the plan is. That's what the plan is now with the new staff, new front office in place here. Look, I think what we've learned from this discussion, like it's really difficult to have confidence in the coaching staff heading into next year. I don't know that confidence right now is what I'm asking for, because when you're 3-14, I don't think you have confidence in a whole lot with the operation. How much improvement can there be, I guess, is what I'm looking for. Like, I think it's reasonable to expect that when in any walk of life, right? Like when you do something for the first time, there are things that you learn along the way, what works, what doesn't work. And people who are great at their jobs can adjust and evaluate those things and then build on the positives moving forward. Like, what did Brian Callahan take away from the first year beyond just the quarterback play that will tangibly improve next year heading into next season? Same thing with Nick Holtz. Same thing with Denard Wilson. Like, is there growth with this coaching staff? Clearly, all of those guys were identified and hired for a reason, and they all y'all feel like they're pretty good young coaches. Well, that's got to manifest itself at some point here. And, I will be looking early into next year, and we'll see what they do with the roster this offseason. But I'll be looking early into next year of, like, can you find some answers as a coaching staff quickly? Because, again, there were too many examples this past season of not enough answers from this coaching staff.
Yeah, and I'm sure when they talk to each other, there's a lot of talk about the talent gap, the talent deficiency that they're facing. You know, it actually brings to mind, speaking of Vrabel, Mr. Maybe, brings to mind, you know, the thing. I remember Carson got so mad about this. Vrabel was like, yeah, every team in this, I'm paraphrasing, remember? He's like, every team in this league's talent. Everybody's got talent. You know, it's not about that. You know, Paul's like, what are you talking about? You know, but there is something to, the coaching
PK wasn't the only one that got mad about that. A lot of Titans fans mad about that too.
You know, but I mean, to a point, I got what Vrabel was saying there. But also, like, yeah, there's different levels of talent at different teams. Come on, Vrabel, right? But you still, as a coach, you have to find a way. You know?
Yeah.
And it didn't look like they had a lot of solutions last year. So the biggest solution is, yes, better players, without question. And absolutely better quarterbacking. I mean, if you could pick one thing that would improve, that's what you would pick, right? You would pick that position having someone better than what they had last year in both Levis and Rudolph. But is that enough to, is that enough to win? And also, again, with Callahan, the biggest attraction, the biggest draw for him was quarterback development.
Exactly.
So, you know, if they bring in a veteran, I guess that's less of a storyline. But if you draft someone, then you want, in theory, the reason you still are employing this guy is because he's good at that. So how much time does he get to work with a rookie if you do actually draft one of these
guys?
It's
just hard for me to imagine him getting a lot of time. I know that with the way that things have gone around here lately, it's probably not the greatest course of action. Like, everybody probably does need some time here, but I don't think he's going to get it. Like, I think there's going to have to be some pretty significant improvement next year with this team, or we're going to be having the same discussion about a coach the year after that. Like, it's just hard for me not to think that, particularly now. I mean, like, you've got a different dynamic with the front office. And the fact is, Brian Callahan is not Mike Borgonzi's guy.
Right.
And I know I'm sure that they're going to work fine together, and he took the job, and
I don't know. Have you seen the bro hugs?
I don't know.
Check those bro hugs.
The bottom line is, like, the way professional sports works a lot of times is, if, like, there's not immediate results, a lot of times you just change the coach and they go get their guy.
Yep. And so now that – so, again, that could be the front – like you said, new front office, and they have someone in mind. There's also – I think there is always this possibility with Amy that, like, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm going to do the exact opposite, which is like, you know what, you guys get 5 years. I'm not even coming to games anymore. Just good luck, okay? Let me know how it goes. Like, at some point, the constant changing could, and the criticism that has come with it
– I mean, who knows?
Could all of a sudden force a total change of direction.
Did Callahan get a contract extension this offseason?
Hey – that, I mean, that's, they
like Rand got
that
one last year, apparently.
So it's nice. A lot of, a lot of, A lot of paying a lot of people to not work for you.
Caleb says, is solidifying the offensive line, particularly the right side, just as important as getting some sort of quarterback?
Pretty close. I mean, they're both.
I don't know that I would ever say it's as important as the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's very important.
It's up there. Yeah. Just be solid. But again, be solid, but also, are you solid on the left side? There were some good signs. There were some games better than others, but are you good?
Yeah.
I think some people are just like assuming, they're good there.
I think there's been way too much of that. I think there's been way too much assuming that, like, oh, well, J.C. Latham is their franchise left tackle. And it's like, well.
And Skoronski's
maybe.
He's on his way.
Latham had some moments this year where he was good. He also had some moments where he's pretty bad. Like, it's a rookie, so I'm not blaming him for that. But I did not walk away from this season just totally convinced that J.C. Latham is some foundational left tackle on that side. Maybe he is, but I don't think there's any way you could know that right now based on the way that he played.
No, it's one of those things that you just have hope. You have hope that year two, here he comes, and now you're solid there. You have hope that year two, wow, Tavondre Sweat is even slimmer after that offseason, and he's making more of a difference. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that if they don't break their way, then they really have roster issues. Even with things breaking their way, they have roster issues. But imagine if some of these things go the other way on them.
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Jim Wyatt at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Duval. He's like, Duval.
We're putting emphasis on the wrong part of it, buddy.
Yeah, you got a lot of work to do, Liam Cohen.
Saw that.
I'm just like, oh, boy.
Duval.
Yeah, that was we were dead on with that reaction. Holy cow. I'm sorry, but like my ears are doing like this psychedelic thing right now. This is so weird. That was one of our – we were absolutely dead on in that program.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours.
So I got a couple pre-rants. First of all, Chase McCabe, if you don't get some actual coffee in this place, you know, when I have a caffeine headache, I swear just
violently,
uncontrollably. And I'm sitting in front of a microphone that you own. You don't own it, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I went into the pantry today to get a coffee, and there's all the little K-cups in the thing. They're all decaf. First of all, they've been there for a while. Don't put decaf anywhere near anyone. Okay, no one has use for decaf.
Then Does somebody here used it. Does somebody like decaf? Okay,
no. That's why it's been the same decaf K cups have been in the thing forever. But like the other half of it was actual coffee, so it's like avoid the pitfall. Don't accidentally do a decaf. Then I looked in the cupboard and there's boxes of coffee. It's all decaf. There's no caffeine here.
We got
you know what you're doing to me, Chase.
We got as much decaf coffee as anybody could want around here.
Yeah, this is you're treading on dangerous ground. So I'm not threatening anything. I'm just telling you, man. You know,
sometimes things happen.
When my caffeine headaches kick in, it's like all I can do is just F bomb my way through it. Second quick pre rant here is Stilly. Would you just use your ears for once, Stilly, instead of just reacting? He comes up, he texts us both, Joe is such an idiot. If baseball was an individual sport, Mike Trout's teams would finish in last place every year. Listen, here's again the point. Like someone on the text line is like, well, tennis is actually an individual. Yeah, I understand. Baseball is not an individual sport.
Golf.
Baseball is, yes, golf, tennis, those are – I did not say baseball is an individual sport.
Bowling.
However.
Huh?
Bowling. Yep. Those are individual sports.
I keep going.
Yeah, baseball is a team sport. We can all agree. Let me say it again. I never said it wasn't. Baseball's a team sport. We were talking about the sports that say they're the ultimate team sport. And a sport in which the most important part of it is the pitcher on the mound staring down the batter at the plate. It's an individual matchup, is the center of baseball. That is what baseball revolves around. There's team defense. You got to hit the cutoff man. You got double play balls. all that stuff. Great. It's a team sport. You cannot say that baseball can threaten football, soccer, hockey, basketball as more of a team sport when, again, the game revolves around one person on the mound, one person at the plate facing off against each other. That's what I'm saying. So shut up, Stilly. Also, yeah, Sam Darnold's better than Jalen Hurts. Oh, God. We could do an hour on that ridiculousness. Anyway, my actual rant today is about the Dallas Cowboys.
We got there.
Yeah, we finally got there. Like first of all, let's listen to I've got a couple sound clips that are just beautiful. First of all, whatever one, which one should we do first? Let's do Stephen Jones first. This is him at their presser yesterday introducing coach Brian Schottenheimer.
Obviously, we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, you know, in terms of, you know, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl. And
he did air quotes when he said it. The Cowboys fans are furious. Chase?
The drought?
While you were trying to find me caffeinated coffee, Chase, I know that you're excited about what Stephen Jones did there. Yeah, yeah, air quotes that the people say we're in. Yeah, yeah, people. So now, again, this is another great example of actual facts don't matter. Yeah. We don't need actual facts. They say we're in a drought, you know. It's kind of fake. It's kind of fake news, you know. We're not really in a drought. Let's throw this one in, too, though. This is Brian Schottenheimer being interviewed. He was very touched that Dak Prescott and a few players showed up to his press conference. Let's listen to this.
We got the right guy. He's going to lead us to championships. He led a few guys, it seemed like, to the press conference. What was that like seeing him in the back there?
So I knew my family was going to be there. I almost lost it when I saw him. I figured there'd be one or two. You can hear it in my voice now. To see the number of guys that were there, I think it shows that we're off to a fast start. We're connected. We know each other's hearts. We know each other's dreams. We know what we need to get done, and we also understand how much work we have to put into it. But truly humbled, I love them and appreciate it, and we'll remember that part maybe as much as anything in today's conversations.
He almost cried because the dude showed up at his press conference. You can hear it in my voice. What? I mean, this organization has got to be and the thing that's sad is last year they were a really good team, and you know your team went in there and bombed them out of there. But they weren't far away. It's a disaster now.
It's hilarious. First off, just in general, these coach introductory press conferences where they display how weird they are. Like the Liam Cohen stuff yesterday. It's like, I know you're trying to get your fan base fired up. I know that's really exclusively what those things are for. I get it. But some of just the cringy stuff. I saw the quarterback at the press conference almost cried. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, this is ridiculous.
We know our hearts. We know each other's dreams. No, he showed up at your press conference. That
Liam
was nice.
Cohen,
that was a nice
move. Just this goofy look on your face. It's like, these guys.
Okay, I kind of liked that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it from the standpoint of, wow.
Content for us.
Yeah, content for us.
Duval.
Just total cringe. With these coach introductory press conferences. It's unbelievable.
And just it's just like a thing that someone
would do. At least Vrabel got up there. Right? Yeah, we're just going to coach better, play better, evaluate people.
Yeah, exactly. This whole you can hear it in my voice now.
1 week we're going to stink and this guy sucks and then I suck.
Saying that? Yeah, I prefer that.
Yeah.
Not that variable pressers were all that good.
So do you think that he was breaking down in tears because he realized that Dak Prescott was still his quarterback, or is because he was there at the Prescott?
Oh, my God.
That's unfair to Dak. He's okay.
He's okay. Yeah, we were just talking about the Titans trying to get Dak not that long ago. That dream has died. Yeah, man, but just between that and the drought they say we're in, air quotes, what? I mean, what are you?
And won a championship in 30 years.
Right. You know, people say, people like to say that stuff. I saw someone tweet, it's like, he's acting like their actual drought is like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot, you know? Like it's some mythical creature that doesn't actually exist. No, really, you haven't won a championship in that long. It's actually true, man.
Well, I'm sure, look, I'm sure this Schottenheimer hire is going to go really well for Dallas. I'm sure it'll be what pushes them over the top.
Oh, my God.
Looking forward to it.
Chase, bring me some effing coffee with caffeine in it ASAP.
737-1025, our phone number. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com will join us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.